friend of the show. We haven't caught up with him in a while. The Leafs are in St. Louis. Here's Kelly Chase. Chaser, what's the street in Porcupine Plain that you simply do not, you know, get up to stupidity on?
Main Street.
Just Main.
The only street. You made a mistake in Ron's pool hall. You got a backhand. That's how it went, you know. And if you walk down to the bar and you get, you know, a little over your skis there, you got a backhand. And, you know, you went down to the rink and you weren't listening to whoever was running the rink, you got a backhand. And I guess those backhands are out now. We got to,
Society's changed. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. But backhands back then, I guess.
No. Yeah, heaven forbid. How have you guys been?
No, we've been doing well, man. I mean, not as good as the Blues, clearly, but, what's going on with this team down in St. Louis?
Well, we lose a few games this year. I don't hear from you guys for months, so I just figured, you got a bunch of interesting stuff, I imagine, going on that show that you didn't need to talk to me. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, basically, yeah. We wanted to talk more about Porcupine Plain, quite frankly, but...
I could talk. At the start of the year, everybody did. But no, you know what? The guys are... They're finding their way. I think they started the year a little bit. Obviously, they started slow, but I think they're a little bit injured with some of their guys. And they didn't get stops at the end of the year. And at the end of the day, if you're not going to get some key saves at key times, they could have started the season easily, played well enough to be 5-0, and they didn't. They lose their confidence, and then it started to pile on, but. I think Chief's got the guys play into a position right now where he's very transparent. You want more ice time? Play better. You want to get on the power play? Play better. You want to, he'll listen to what guys have to say. He's very direct, very plain. He's very, it's a simple system with him. I want you to play this way, and if you do, you're going to play more, and you're going to have more fun, and you're going to get more opportunities. And again, I give credit to the players, too. They're pretty resilient because they were taking some heat. And Army came in and said, listen, I'm going to stay the course. And I know there's lots of things we could probably do and trade you guys and do this and that. But I'm going to stick with this group because I believe in this group. And I think that changed things a lot. Obviously, the kid coming in and, as I said, making some stops makes a big difference, a sense of confidence change. But tell you what, different group out there right now than we saw at the start of the year.
Jason, you talked about sticking with the group and you talked about the young goaltender. Does it not shock you? It kind of surprised me how they were so patient with Allen. Like, they kind of had a really good team and he just continually couldn't make the saves, and they showed faith and it just wasn't there. He's kind of stabilized now because I don't think he's playing as much, but does it not shock you they were so patient with him?
We didn't have a lot of options, to be honest with you. I wasn't a fan of letting Carter Hutton walk at the end of the year. I think they could have had him at a very reasonable price of probably about a third of what he ended up getting. So good for Carter, but I don't think there was a lot of options. I don't think anybody looked at the organization and said, well, boy, that's one of our spots where we have a whole bunch of depth.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to let him work his way out of it. And if, they've leaned on him to put their eggs in that basket. And unfortunately for Jake, it wasn't the start that he wanted. And as you said, he's stabilized now. He's made some key saves and key games here lately. And yet, Bennington's been the talk of the town, because obviously this kid is, I don't want to say he's coming out of nowhere, but he wasn't exactly on the depth chart. He wasn't like in the two spot. And so, I think his sense of calm has bid real well for him. And when you get on a roll like that and you start believing you can win every night, and then if you make a little bit of a mistake, the kid's going to stop you or bail you out. Like, I mean, he's making all the saves he's supposed to right now, and a couple in a game he's not supposed to, and that's the difference, and that's why they've been winning.
I agree. At one point, I went back and looked. Bennington was fifth in their depth chart behind, I think it was Allen, Carter Hutton, Phoenix Copley, and Billy Huso. And then Bennington. And he's worked his way up, but he's made those big saves. When I look at St. Louis, I think Ryan O'Reilly's been very consistent all year, but then to me, Chaser, it's got to be your stars, and Tarasenko and Petrangelo. I mean, Petro was banged up, and Tarasenko wasn't finding the back of the net consistently. Now they're both dominating, and it's amazing how the team takes off.
Well, Vladdy was one of those guys that had some injury problems, and it took him a little bit to get healthy. And as you mentioned, Petro, you got to remember Jay Bouwmeester. Everyone was saying, well, he's done. I mean, he's awful at the start of the year. He's awful. He had two surgeries that would have put anyone out for the rest of their career. This guy went to work, put his, you know, got himself in phenomenal shape again. And he's not, no one's talking about him, but it's been, he's been a big help, big asset, because all of a sudden your blue line's been stabilized a little bit too. You know, Gunnarsson hurt, comes back. You can talk what you want about flash or whatever, but he's defending. All of a sudden their goals against has changed with those guys playing like that. So I think the start of the year, there were some injuries that no one really wanted to talk about and not make excuses about. But the truth is it, very minor things can mean a lot in this league right now, especially, you know, there's the margin of error is too small, and little things like that can add up to big things. And I think the Blues right now, they've found their stride. They're also playing with a lot more confidence. And again, they've inserted young guys in the lineup and given them an opportunity to succeed, to push the older guys. And it's also allowed the older guys to heal a little bit. So that's, to me, you know, a big part of why they're having success.
Chaser, here in Toronto, we were talking about earlier in the show, there's this big debate about grit and if it's needed and can you win without it. I know the role you played is not really a part of the game anymore, but do you still look at a team like Toronto and say they could use some of that going into the playoffs, or is it just go out there and try to possess the puck and do what you do with it?
Well, there's a couple different arguments. I mean, I'm down in Nashville a lot now, and I see that Nashville team. I think the one thing that if you could add to a team that you'd want to have would be a little bit of sandpapery kind of a player to them, you know, and have a little of that edge or make guys a little uneasy just by the way you play. And then you get a team like Coop's got there in Tampa, and that team in Tampa right now is just, you know, on a roll, and it's all about puck possession. So, okay, you get two different teams that completely, you know, play differently, but they're not going to have success unless they, you know, I mean, with Tampa, that's ridiculous, the puck possession. But then on the other side of it too, I bet if they add something to their game, it'll be a guy like, I don't know, Michael Ferland or something like that. You know, somebody that they feel like in the playoffs, he'll have another gear and he'll match the intensity. And so I still think there's a need for a player like that. We've noticed Maroon, he hasn't had the success offensively, but in the last few weeks, his physical presence, his you know, gamesmanship, being physical and sticking up for his teammates and everything's made a big difference around here all of a sudden. So I think there's still, you know, a willingness to play with that competitive edge that makes a team better.
With our good buddy Kelly Chase, simple one for you, Chaser. Who do you think is the toughest pound-for-pound player in the league right now?
Whew, that's a great question. I'm not sure. I mean, pound for pound, I don't know. But I'll tell you, if I was picking a hockey player that's my favorite player that I think does everything, I'd take Jamie Benn. I look at that guy, the way he competes. I know he's having an off year offensively or whatever. But here's a guy that plays. He can play in any era. He can play any way you want to play, and he gets the job done. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for the way Jamie Benn plays the game and the way he competes from a strength, speed, kind of a, I think, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, I like watching that kid play, you know, but, and then when it comes down to the fighting, the toughness, I mean, you know, you want Wilson on your team, but if we're talking about a guy that can flat out fight, nobody can touch Reeves. He's the toughest kid in the NHL.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would know him from St. Louis, and we're waiting for that, right? The next time Vegas and Washington play, isn't everyone waiting for Wilson and Reeves to fight?
Like, I don't think Wilson will fight with them.
You don't think so?
I watched it here, and I'm not saying that's a foolish move either. I'm just telling you that I've seen it a few times, and I don't know. The kid is, you know, they almost had success against them at the, you know, last year, because of Reeves's, you know, ability to go out and intimidate and basically walk into a guy that they trust. Sorry, my dog's barking here. That they trusted to be a physical guy and still play. And that Wilson, he's a heck of a player, and he's a lot different a player when Ryan's out on the ice too. So, I'd love to have both those guys on my team. I really like the way they both play, and they're both tough customers.
Always great catching up with you, Chaser. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Well, you got, I got to tell you guys, you're keeping everybody in line. I haven't heard too much static out of Toronto, out of you guys. It's almost like, you know, like it's getting boring or something. So get, you know, get a little action going.
We needed you on the show because we had a debate last week of some of the grittiest cities in Canada. And right away, your name came up in Porcupine Plain. We are getting a little bit of heat from people because some of the Newfoundlanders are feeling slighted because there's some grit out there as well.
They think they can fight with the best of them.
Yeah, bring them on out west and see. We'll just pack them back up in lunch boxes. And, you know, when you look at, I think I tweeted out a few days ago, and I think you guys might be doing something that, in the summertime, a feature on the guys. But I sent out a picture of our ball team that had Wendell and Joel Koser and Corey Koser, Kerry Clark, Don Clark, Barry Melrose, Kevin Kaminsky. That was our ball team. Okay, well, that wasn't our hockey team. That was our ball team. So at that point, you know, you start looking at just how we played the ball. We didn't, guys didn't want to come into town and win a ball game against us. Never mind a hockey game.
I forgot Killer Kaminsky was there.
Killer. We had Trent Yanni on that team. Mike Blosky, the goalie that was always in the fight. We had a crew, man. It was fun.
Just nothing coming inside the plate, like right over the middle of the plate.
I was actually talking to Koser today about that. I said, can you imagine, like, coming up, and the guys, we didn't think twice about it, but it was like we didn't manage. But I said to Joey today, did you see the picture? And he said, yeah, I think Michael Farber asked him about it at the All-Star break. And he said, yeah, Michael Farber came and asked me about it. And I said, man, I bet you, you know, I never thought about it, but there was just no coming inside against that team.
No chance. Everything right down the middle of the plate.
Charged them out.
Yes, and Wendell would hit it about 7 miles. The other thing was, think about this. Can you imagine Connor McDavid telling the Oilers that he was going to play fastball in the summertime? Like Wendell played every summer. I was playing fastball, playing on a fastball team.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the first pick overall? Yeah, I'm going to play fastball in this. They'd
no
have a
chance.
Heart attack.
No way.
No chance.
No chance they'd allow it anymore. Yeah. It can't happen. Anyway, always
all right,
great.
Boys,
thank you, Chaser.
Time, boys.
You got it, buddy. Here's one of our favorites, Kelly Chase.
Classic.
That was a baseball team.